And can we give Dill another big round of applause? Wow. And I know that our future is bright because we have people like Dylan. Yeah. Wow. What a testament to unity in this church. And we just thank and honor all that you do and all the blessings. Whew, you got me fired up. Isn't it just good to be here today? And everybody that's watching at home, we just send our love to you, knowing we're all connected. Oh, feel the love. I'm reminded of the Course of Miracles. It says, Jesus became the Christ when he saw the face of God on all his brothers and sisters. I look around, and from this vantage point, and I see all the faces of God. I just have this, I don't know about you, this overwhelming flow of love. And that's really what it's about, isn't it? To be in the love. You know, I grew up in a fundamentalist Christianity. And I was raised with this belief that God is love. And I love that. And I believe that absolutely. But then they added this word after that. But. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with that word, but I now know that there is no buts with God. And it took me a few years to get there, and that's why it's so great to see this youth program and able to share the truth that God is unconditional love. Wow, what a message. And what a message the world needs, that we are all one. If you would please repeat after me, the theme today,
I am
a child of God.
A child of God.
Wow. Aren't those beautiful words? Mm-hmm. I want to read to you, I got a couple verses for today, and I love that verse about Isaiah. Trust in the Lord, because you think about it. Trust in God, because how many people or how many times do I put my trust somewhere else? Isn't it interesting? If we take out a dollar bill or a $100 bill or any denomination, it says what in our money? But how often do we put our trust in the material? How often do we put our trust in things outside of us? Because ultimately, God's spirit is where? Everywhere? Absolutely. And that includes also in here. One of the things that Paul wrote, he said, you are the temple of the living God. Woo! I don't know about you. Is that blowing one's mind? You all seen those new pictures from the telescope? Is that not amazing? And the creator of that is within you. Woo! And how many times do I not realize the power that's in me? Well, we got something for you today. Open two verses. The first one's in Psalm 82:6. I said, now this was speaking as God, you are Elohim in the Hebrew, you are God. And all of you are children of the Most High. It says all. Did it say some? All. How amazing. That's the message of unity. Because the reality that we know here that God the good. Isn't that a beautiful message? And ultimately all roads lead to what? God the good, because that's all there is. And our second verse for today. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. 1 John 3:1. When I was growing up in Sunday school, we had this song. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Anyone ever heard this? Well, I'm the only one. so I can sing off key. But this truth I want to share with you today, and I know you already know it, but to remind you what you already know, because I think so much of life is an unlearning process. Am I right? Am I right? How many are familiar with the story of the Golden Buddha? So there was this great Buddha, was like several feet high, pure gold. And what happened was, it was in Thailand, and there was a raid, and the monks, they covered it with clay because they didn't want to be stolen. They were all assassinated, martyred. And for centuries, people did not realize that this clay Buddha was actually pure gold until one day, I think it was the early 20th century, a monk was moving it, and it cracked, and he saw a shimmer of gold, and they uncovered it. And now you go to Thailand, it's worth over $100 million. Now here's the metaphor example. We come into this world from source, from divine love. But what happens is sometimes we pick up some stuff along the way. Can you all relate? And I think so much of the journey for so many of us is to unlearn and discover this truth that you are a child of God. If you would, please, go back into the year is 1890. Let me make sure I get the right year here. Okay, I thought I was right. Double check, right? 1886, almost 20 years after the end of the Civil War, Grover Cleveland is the president. And I want you to invite you into your mind to go to me to Kansas City. And we're in a lecture hall. And there's a young gentleman there by the name of E.B. Weeks. And he comes from the metaphysical school in Illinois. He's a student of Emma Curtis Hopkins. And we're in this, imagine this lecture hall. And electricity has just become a thing. And there's probably perhaps no air conditioning. It's dusty. And there's a young woman there who's dealing with an illness. And she's been to all the doctors, and they said there's no hope, and she's there with her husband, and she's just searching for the answer. And that day, that young man said something that forever changed her life, forever changed the life of you and I. We don't know much about E.B. Weeks except for really this one affirmation that he said, and a young lady named Myrtle grasped hold of. And he said that day, he said, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. Oh, feel it. And Myrtle, she grasped onto that. Now, records show Charles was not too impressed with the guy. Think about that. Actually, it says also that Paul was not necessarily the best speaker. In fact, one time, a guy fell asleep during his sermon and fell from the second floor and died. How are you feeling with that story? In the Old Testament, God used a donkey to talk. What I'm saying is, how often do we get in the ego and we got to realize it's not us, but it's the divine spirit and God working through us, that we are instruments and we can let go and let God. And Myrtle, she hung on to that. And 2 years after believing that, affirming that, changing her awareness, letting go, unlearning the stuff that she picked up, she became healed. And 3 years after that message, Unity was born. You see, Unity is a healing ministry. You do not inherit sickness of health, of finances, of relationships. Because the reality we know, principle number one, God the... which leads into principle number two is what? Man, woman is inherently, what I get so excited about, Unity, we believe in original blessing, not original curse. Can I get an amen to that? Woo! Because, yes, Because we're children of God. I wrote something down here. Let me read this. This is so profound. I usually don't write stuff down like this, but I got to share this with you. And receive this. Receive this at home. I know someone is meant to hear this. You are, I can't help but get a little excited. I feel like dancing or something. Y'all got me so excited up in here. You are one with God. It's going to take me the rest of my lifetime to fully realize that. One with God. Because how many times do I get caught in the illusion of lack of separation? I love the daily word today. Where's our trust in? And God is one with you. In Genesis, what does it say? You're creating what? The likeness and image of God. Now, it says in Scripture, old and new, that God is invisible. God does not have a body. I call it our earth suit. How often do we get caught up in our earth suit and we forget the reality that you are a spiritual being having what? A human or physical experience. But how often do I think I'm a physical being and I have the occasional spiritual experience? Because the reality is, it's all spiritual. You're telling me when I watch the Longhorns play football, it's a spiritual experience? Absolutely. Because it's all spiritual, because God is all there is, created in the likeness and image of God. And the beauty, we have all these different earth suits and the diversity. But I think sometimes we get caught up in the physical that we forget the truth of the spiritual. Unity, principle number one, God the good. Unity, principle number two, man is inherently good. Why? Because he was created, she was created, you were created in the image and likeness of God. That's why in Leviticus and in 1 Peter, it says you are holy. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to look at myself as holy. But you're holy because your creator is holy. Your DNA is divine. Just like a child has what from their parent? They have the parent's DNA. They have the parent's likeness. You're created in the likeness and image of who? God the good. And so if God is good, and how many believe you're created by God? So if God is perfect, and how many believe God's creation is perfect? So if God is perfect and his creation is perfect and you are his creation, what does that mean about you? Perfect. Now in the body, we got some illusions we got to work on. But you're not your physical body, ash to ash, dust to dust. You're a spiritual being. That is why Jesus said, my Father and I are one. You have divine DNA. You do not inherit sickness because you're a child of God. You do not inherit sin because you're a child of God. You do not inherit lack because you're a child of God. All things are possible for those who believe because you're a child of God. And nothing can separate you from the love of God because you're a child of God. You are whole, complete, and perfect. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God to you because why? You're a child of God. Please repeat it with me again and feel it. I am a child of God. And therefore, I do not inherit any sickness or lack or separation or negativity. Fill in the blank. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And of course, God is just the word that we use, because it says in the Bible, God says, I am that I am. And when you say that word, I am, what you put after that will manifest in your life. Now, if you would please, let's go back to Kansas City. And this time, we're going to go to a hospital. And now the year is 2004. And there's a young man sitting on a hospital bed waiting test results. He hears a knock, and into the room comes a doctor. A doctor that later would be nicknamed Dr. Doom. We all have these Dr. Dooms in our life. These are the people that brighten the whole room as soon as they leave. Have you met some of these? And that day, January 2004, Dr. Doom walked over the bedside. And she told me, Matt, the cancer's come back, and it's spread to the fluid in your brain. But what Dr. Doom didn't realize that we know, I'm a child of God, and I do not inherit sickness. One of my mentors, Les Brown, he said to me, he said, Matt, a doctor can give you a diagnosis, but the prognosis is up to God. Oh, she went on with the doom. She went on with the negativity. And she said, Matt, you have a less than 10% chance of living to the age of 30. And she got up and she walked out. This past October, I turned 43. When I'll share this. When I turned 40, I went to the grocery store, got a bottle of wine to celebrate. And I'm going to check out, and the clerk says, sir, can I see your ID? I was like, best birthday present ever. It's been a while since I've been ID'd. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I'm reaching to my wallet, getting my ID. And then she says to me, oh, never mind. I see gray. But let me tell you this. What a blessing it is to live long enough to get some gray hair. If you would, please, one of my favorite affirmations. If you would repeat this, you probably heard it before. It's an oldie but a goodie. I'm too blessed.
To be stressed.
Oh, so true. Because every single day we experience more blessings, we experience more goodness than we do stresses. Here's another one I got to give to you. I'm too grateful to be hateful. Oh, I love those. I love those. Now, I'm going to share something. You all know Wayne Dyer, right? You have the Wayne Dyer. This is one of my favorite ones. I think he got it from Buddha, but you know, truth is truth. And I love this. You may have heard it. He said, oh, there's words that we need today. He said, it's better to be kind than to be right. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, man. It's taken me so many years to realize that God is kind. That God is unconditional love. And when God looks at me, however you want to imagine that, all God sees is love. Because that's what God is. Now what happened was, because I had leukemia, spread the fluid in my brain, they put a special device in my head to administer chemotherapy. It got infected. When my kidneys began to fail, my temperature rose to over 104 degrees. At Valentine's Day 2004, I slipped to unconscious state. I was told Dr. Doom came back into my room and she did an assessment. And she walked out to the nurse's station and she told him, 2 o'clock in the morning, call Matt's family and friends. He's not going to make it. But here's the thing. Dr. Doom didn't know what. She didn't realize. I'm a child of, and I do not inherit. You see, what she didn't realize is that you and I, we had a divine appointment. Here's what I believe. I believe that you are blessed so you can be a blessing. Sometimes we go through the mess so we can get the message. We have the test to get the testimony. We got the wounds to get the wisdom. And from your stars comes your star. See, what Dr. Doom didn't realize is this healing power within. And I believe this 100%. One of the reasons why I'm still here today is because of you. Because I believe that God loved you so much. And part of the infinite wisdom and vastness of how this, the mystery of how this all works, wanted you to hear something I had to say. Want to remind within you what's possible. Ernest Holmes said this: if someone else has done it, you can do it. The fact that I'm here today, when the doctor said I wasn't supposed to live through the night, is proof that's possible for you. All things are possible if what? Believe. Now that's interesting. What does that mean? What does it mean to say if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain? What does it mean? Do we truly believe it? Do I truly believe I'm a child of God and I don't inherit sickness? So often I'm like that person who said to Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Amen. You know, one of my favorite parables, and I've really studied it a lot, and there's so many ways to look at, but it's the parable of the prodigal son. Are you familiar with the prodigal son or the lost son? And he came to the father and he said, I want my inheritance. Now, I did some research, and those times when you ask for your inheritance, you got your inheritance when? When your father died. So it was like wishing death upon your father. I mean, this was taboo in the culture. And of course, like so often we do, when we think from ego that we can run our lives, what happened to the prodigal son? He went and he blew it. He went to 36 and he lost it all. Don't raise your hand. How many can relate? And finally he got his senses. He's like, what am I doing? But let me ask you the question. Who left? The son or the father? The son. The father never left home. And one of the greatest things I love the story, it says, you know, the father would go and look for him. And I imagine here, because it's like hilltops. He goes to the hilltop every day, and he's looking, and he's hoping, longing, and believing that his son comes back. And when he finally saw his son, what did he do? Before that, yeah, he... It says in the Bible, ran towards his son. Now, I didn't realize this, but once again, doing some research, in the Eastern culture, the weaker party was the one that ran. It was not a sign of strength to run. You ran to the stronger person. The father played the fool because of his love for his child. Wow. God loves us so much. In a sense, he plays the fool because he loves us. And the son came back and said, what? I'm a sinner. And what did the father reply? This is, remember? He didn't even acknowledge it. Instead, he said, what? Let's throw a party. Wow. How many can get behind a God like that? It's interesting, it says, the father gave judgment to the son, and it says in John 3:17, Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Save the world from what? Illusion that we're separate from God. You see, Jesus' message is a message of oneness. I and the Father are one, but not just I and the Father, but also you. In John 17, Jesus has his whole prayer that all would come to know the truth, that they're one with God. Jesus also said something very interesting in the garden. He said this, not my will, but yours. And I'm here, though I demonstrated this miraculous, if you want to call it, this manifestation of healing is ultimately God's will, not ours. And I believe that healing in the physical is minor compared to coming to the truth that we are one with each other. I believe one of the greatest works, the greatest miracles, if you want to call it a miracle, the greatest acts of Jesus was on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Course of Miracles talks about extreme examples. Jesus went through an extreme example. My cancer adventure was an extreme example. You don't have to do it, okay? But if Jesus can forgive on the cross, when someone cuts me off in traffic, I also can forgive. What a powerful lesson to know. Because that person cutting me off in traffic is what? Child of God. That person I disagree with politically is what? Oh! This opportunity every day. And here's the great thing. We're about ready to wind up. But here's the great thing. It says in the Course of Miracles, you can choose again. Which means when we get caught in separation, when we get caught in lack, when we get caught in anger, we don't got to beat ourselves up. We just what? Choose again. It's Mother's Day 2004, and because I had leukemia, I went through a bone marrow transplant. And everything was looking good, but there were some tests weren't exactly where they hoped to be, and so I didn't know when I was going to get out. I've been in the hospital for a month, but that day, into my hospital room, walked Dr. Ganguly. We fired Dr. Doom. How many know you got to get rid of some Dr. Dooms in your life, right? And he came in and he said, "Matt, you get to go home." The first thing I did was I picked up the telephone. I called my mom. And I said, "Mom, happy Mother's Day. I get to go home." And she said, "Matt, this is the greatest Mother's Day gift ever." Now, because the cancer spread the fluid in my brain, doctors wanted to do some follow-up procedures, which meant 10 months, once a month, of chemotherapy in the brain. And of course, there's a lot of pluses and minuses. I had 9 of these. Everything was looking great. And so I asked the doctor. I said, "Doc, what's the medical literature say? Do I really need this last one?" And he said, "Matt, there is no medical literature. There's never been someone who had what you had be here a year later." I was like, "Well, Doc, keep doing what you're doing." And sometimes I wonder, why me? Why was I so blessed to be alive today when many others not so much? And the reason why I'm so blessed, we're coming down the final stretch here, receive this, is the reason why you're blessed. Because you have a unique and special purpose that the world still needs. And the world needs you here. Paul said something interesting. He said, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." What is Christ? Christ is the oneness with God, to be the light. And how many would agree right now this world needs some light? Here's the great opportunity. Look at how much light is in this room. And we're going to go out and spread that light. Is that not exciting? Is that not exciting? We got people like Dylan's going to take it, go all across the country, all the East Coast. How many knows Washington, D.C. needs some light? And how many know some Austin needs a light? And everywhere we go, how awesome is this? We got to finish this up. And I'm going to finish this up with one of the only other things, and I studied this guy, E.B. Weeks. It was a hymn. And his hymn was in one of the original hymnals of unity. And this goes back to 1896. And so I'm going to read this hymnal that he wrote, and then we're going to go into meditation. Because we want to take this intellectual knowledge, and we want to plant it, that seed, in good harvest. So E.B. Weeks wrote this, and the name of the song is "Children of God." 1 John 3:1. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. I like to laugh. Is that all right? We laugh? "Receive these words. See what manner of love the Father has given to us, that children of God, we should be called, and we are. Repeat after me. And we are. Oh, I like that. And we are sons and daughters indeed. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. God supplies all our needs. Repeat after me, please. God supplies all our needs. That's a great meditation, affirmation. You wake up in the morning. God, thank you for supplying all my needs today. It's already done. Jesus says, it is finished. Your healing is already done. Your blessing is already done. You're perfect and whole. All that's left to do is to celebrate. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That beautiful life. What a precious blessing. Talk about the face of God, right? Wow. Whew. Okay, I'm so excited. I'm running over time. It's all good. Sons and daughter indeed, yes, we are. And with that great hymn, thank you, E.B. Weeks. Thank you, Myrtle. Thank you for all who's come before us. Now I'm going to invite you to come in time of meditation. As we begin this meditation, I just want you to concentrate where you're at. Concentrate on the chair you're sitting in. Acknowledge where your feet are planted on the floor. And we're just going to invite you just to relax into the perfect love of God, the perfect oneness and unity. And invite you, if you're comfortable, just to close your eyes as you go within, as we prepare ourselves to enter the silence, to really experience and know and feel the love of God. We give thanks that we are children of God. We give thanks that we are perfect and whole and complete. We give thanks that all our needs are supplied for us. We give thanks that we live in love. We give thanks that we're one with the divine. And as we acknowledge that thankfulness, with a thankful heart, I'm going to invite you just for a few moments to go into the silence. As the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God, so that you can feel the Christ within you, the love within you. And we acknowledge that. And so go within and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper within. As we go, we invite you to this moment of silence when you connect with the Christ within, the truth that you are God, because God is all there is and you are one with God and God is one with you. And now we go into the silence. And when you're ready, start to become back to this room. The noises in the room and acknowledging your seats and the floor, the shuffles around you. Knowing that at any time you can go back to that place. In fact, you're always there in the love and the oneness of God. And so as you're ready, we invite you just to begin to open your eyes. Come back into this room in awareness. If you would, just repeat after me, amen. Amen. And once again, I'm a child of God. And therefore, I do not inherit sickness. Woo! Amen, and so it is. And we got some more music. Oh, can we just give them a round of applause? Show them the love as they prepare. Just, oh man, that is, whoo.